At the Festivus dinner, you gather your family around and tell them all the ways they have disappointed you over the past year.
And is there a tree?
No, instead there's a pole. Requires no decoration. I find tinsel distracting.
There is the music. Maybe it should be Christmas music or Festivus music. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Coolius and Button are back. The Cool Button Uncensored Hockey Podcast, episode 24. Craigie boy, are you wearing your pajamas or your long johns? We see you on television. You can't fool us because you're using our material on television. Oh, send them an invoice. How are you, my friend? You look good.
I'm good. I was going out for a walk and I had to do a little bit of featured television. And, you know, I was telling Jay a little funny story about what my daughter wanted to take a picture. Of course, he wanted to see. And of course, he's devious. So he wanted to use it for a little segment on his show. But it's all good. I'm going to tell you what, Steve.
Yep.
Out here in Calgary, World Junior time coming up. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be like minus 35 Celsius. Whoa. Now, the Celsius and Fahrenheit scale meet at minus 40. Minus 40 is the same. So if you want to know how it, like, that's minus 35 Celsius is like minus 30 Fahrenheit. Cold, boy, cold. Yeah, you need your warm woolies. I might be sleeping in them, wearing them, walking around in them. I might never be taking them off over the next 2 weeks.
Well, that's how they freeze the backyard rinks. At minus 35, they freeze easily. Well, like what the Fahrenheit guy, did he get lazy at minus 40? Yeah, we'll just catch up with the Celsius. You know what? Our scale doesn't make sense anyway. Like there's boils at 100, freezes at zero. We're so lazy that at minus 40, we'll just copy theirs. It's like a test. You know what? Hey, the metric guy, we're going to just copy you at minus 40. Is that how it works?
I think it does. So now I got to go back to Mrs. Iwanica. Okay. Yeah. Did she make you have to do the conversions when you were in math class? Did she ever do the Fahrenheit Celsius to Fahrenheit conversion?
We had already converted. The only thing that sticks is weight and height in the imperial system. But the rest of it, we grew up on the metric system. I don't know what 60 miles an hour is. I know it's 100 kilometers, but when we were taught, I guess I do know. But when they switched the signs and everything, we just followed along, Jerry. We followed along and we only kept height and weight. And I guess a little bit of mile per hour conversion, but that's only because some of us are, you know, bright students. Really failed the class.
I do remember in science class, doing the, okay, here's how you convert. And like, you know, okay, that's okay. I still haven't forgotten it. I know how to do it in my head. You know, I can do it quick. And, you know, my dad used to drill it home to us. So Celsius, double it.
Yeah.
Add 32 and then subtract what you double. So if it's 32 degrees Celsius, double it, 64. Keep that 64 in your mind. Add 32, 96 minus 6.4. There you have it, 89.6.
That's great. That's warm.
You go check that on your little.
I totally believe you. I totally believe you. Or you can just forget all of it and just say it's 32 degrees and that's flipping hot, as Mark Osborne said, because he doesn't swear. It's flipping. And we don't swear around here. Maybe we'll drop something once in a while, but we do it on our own terms, Mr. Craig Button. And the NHL's doing it on its own terms with the Christmas break, 4 days instead of three, testing on Boxing Day. If you're healthy, you're in. If you're not, you're out. And resuming on the 27th. What do you think of the plan?
Well, the plan is one that had, you know, what's Lou Lamoriello's line? You have a plan for the long term, you have a plan for the short term, and you better be ready to change your plan on a moment's notice, right? And I think that the NHL, you're going to have to adapt. You got to be flexible, right? If you're just going to go straight down, go, no, we're playing on the 27th, here's what we're doing, and expect that to be the case, you know, they're hopeful. But I've said this, and I'm a broken record, but it's okay to be a broken record in this case. The NHL and the NHLPA science table, that's where they're getting their advice. They're getting their advice from their medical experts, right? And they're saying, okay, here's what we got to do. They postpone games. Listen, this is going to continue through and hopefully everything gets under control. But in the meantime, we got to be flexible. We got to be nimble. You know, you gotta be careful. It's like doing the limbo. You got to be able to, you know, when that bar lowers, you got to be able to get underneath it. And if you can't, you're going to fall. I don't think the NHL and the NHLPA want to fall. I know they don't. That was a big reason, you know, why they just said, hey, we got to do it. They did their own circuit breaker. Is it enough? I don't know if it's going to be enough, but it's a step. And one thing, and you know it, Steve, there's no way that they're just going to stop at one thing to make sure two things, not the health and try to make sure they can get a full season. That's the most important thing.
Now, as we've done the show, podcast or radio together, you know, I have had a couple notes from doctors who say, you guys probably don't want to have me on the air talking hockey. And I know when you guys are trying to talk COVID, you're doing your best, but we don't know. So I say, well, what do we not know? And rising tests, there was a tweet that was out in the last 24 hours about rising tests in Quebec. And people say, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And Craig, shouldn't there be a correlation between rising tests and then sadly, if it is deaths, hospitalization, ventilators, and if we're back to where we were 2 years ago, I get it. And I'm a lame. I'm trying to put it in the layman's terms. But are tests then relevant if people aren't going to the hospital, if people aren't on ventilators? And of course, most importantly, if people aren't dying, we got to be in a better spot than we were 2 years ago. I know I'm not a doctor, but if the cases go up and there's no residual effects of a domino of tragedy and sickness and fear because we're going to the hospital, am I not sort of right to sit there and say, oh, okay, the tests are up, but people aren't running to the hospital, and that's good news. Is it not good news, Craig?
You know it is. And what you're talking about is outcomes. Okay. Yeah. So now, you have it, you test positive. What are the outcomes? Well, we've already seen that with therapies, with vaccines, that the outcomes are less severe. And I mean, that's, there's no argument to that. We've seen that. Now there's other factors that come in. What type of stress is it put on the healthcare systems? We know all that, but looking at outcomes, I don't know if this is a right analogy or whatnot. You have money, you have $100 in your pocket, right? And you're going to go and invest it in the stock market. Well, if that $100 becomes $50, you're going to put another $100 in? No, you're not. Returns, right? But if you get 100 and now that 100 becomes 150, you're going to go, I'm going to put some more money in there. And the reason I use that, it's outcomes. And so an outcome in investing, it's just smart, right? If I'm getting a real positive return, I'm going to put more into it. If I'm getting a negative return, I'm not putting more into it. And when you talk about outcomes, that's where we're at with the pandemic, right? If we're getting more, like, you know, in this case, less positive outcomes, we need to move away. If we're doing, we got to consider how we move forward. And I think that I'm not an expert, but I talk to people that I see as experts, and I read and listen to people who I see as experts.
Yeah.
So I never talk about here's what I hear, here's what I understand, and that's what I do. Of course, I'm not going to have the expertise of the medical profession. But that being said, going back to the NHL, you know, the NFL said, we're not going to test asymptomatic cases. We're not going to do it. They've already made a decision. So you don't think the NHL, Steve, or the NBA isn't talking to the NFL and their medical table and saying, how did you come to this? What's your data and what's your assessment of this?
So you think we're going to be in that direction very soon? Could the difference is those other leagues have no or one in baseball, Canadian-based teams, and we've got the border to deal with and two governments that may or may not look at things, you know, the same way or differently. Could that be troubling for not health? Because if they think it's important for health, they might shut the borders down and we might have a Canadian division again. Are those options all on the table? When people say you're not going to test asymptomatic players, they think it's barbaric. And I say, okay, well, what do you do? Well, I have this job. Are they testing you today? No. So the right of a healthy citizen for the most part. Like, we're not waking up every morning and everyone is getting tests to find out if they can leave the house. So what's the difference then with a professional athlete? And if you think you're sick with the flu, what do? You go to work? No, you stay home anyway. Do you see grandma then? No, you don't. So if you're playing and you're worried, then you don't do the things in society that would spread whatever it is that you had. I like that logic. Others don't. So I feel I'm at a standstill. Gary and Bill won't be. So when they move forward, will we copy, say, the NFL model? Does that make sense to you?
Well, I mean, here's what I would say. It makes sense. And, you know, what are the parameters around that? There's been exemptions for traveling across the border, Steve. Like, right. You know, the federal governments have made exemptions. Like, let's be clear here. Okay. You know, when you understand, you know, that each jurisdiction, you know, federally and locally, and I talk about provincial and state, have different rules, and they've implemented different regulations surrounding the pandemic. But those are things you work around, and there's no, yeah, there's Canadian teams. I'm talking about just, you know, asymptomatic people. Like, are you going, they want to know, okay, what does this mean? Because you might have to go and extend that and say to the federal officials, here's what we know. Here's where we're at. And to your point, Steve, if we want to test everybody, are teachers being tested every single day? Are teachers being tested every single day? Like, you know, like, again, what are we trying to do? And that's left to the medical experts. What is the impact of what we're doing? And again, what do we do to mitigate against the risk and try to minimize it to the greatest extent possible? I've said this, and you've said it. The NHL and the NHLPA have been exemplary in their actions since March of 2020. No, there is nobody that would, I'll argue this and argue it hard. Anybody that wants to say that they haven't done an exemplary job, haven't been paying attention. But it's probably the same people that say we're looking right back to where we're at in March 2020. They forgot about history. Go to your history. They don't even know short history. Forget about long history.
And they're the same people that said, just scrap it and go home. And we handed out two Stanley Cups efficiently, safely, and have moved on. So I'm with you on kind of, it's easy to shut it down when it doesn't affect you, when you're still getting a check. But when it affects so many other people, you know, as the river flows from, yeah, the multimillionaires and billionaires all the way down to people that say, I need this gig. I need to be at the rink. I need to sell the popcorn, the programs, the merchandise. We need that. It's easy when it doesn't affect you, but when it does, and by not putting people at risk and having two kind of bubble cups is an example of what you're saying and doing the right thing, which nicely brings us into the Olympics. The NHLPA at the end of the day had the puck on their stick. Gary said a deal's a deal. They looked at all the options and the NHL players aren't going. And it's disappointing. It's sad. Some people will never get the opportunity again. Maybe a Steve Stamkos is an example. You know, will John Cooper be the coach in 4 years? Yeah, why not? He might be, or at least on the staff. And all that is disappointing. We love best on best. We've talked about the Summer Series and the Canada Cups and the World Cups and the Olympics. We could do shows just on the 87 Canada Cup or the 2010 Olympics. It is disappointing, but Craig, we both know it's the right decision, even though it hurts so much. You got to make right calls in life. And I know you know that the PA made the right call.
Yeah, and you remember, this is in conjunction with the NHL. And, you know, Gary at the Board of Governors meetings was very clear. He said, we've expressed our concerns. This is before the new variant came and reared its ugly head, right? That was before. And so, but he said, hey, well, the players, you know, ultimately, and we respect that. Well, all you had to do was listen after that, after Gary. Connor McDavid spoke. Steven Stamkos spoke. You know, Alex Pietrangelo spoke. Robin Leonard said, I'm not going. It won't be good for me. So now we reached a point where we're going, uh-oh, no way. And I think everybody examined it and looked at it. And as disappointing as it is, you know, the right decision was made. Because it's not just for health and not just, you know, but also for the business. For the business, Steve. You know, now with the postponements that have happened, now you have a window going on in February. Wait till you hear one of my grievances. I got two grievances that are really, wait till you hear and you'll come back. Yeah, I got, well, I know your hand up, like, but I, you know me, I get worked up, right? I get going.
Yes, and I start I love to go it.
And I'm rigged. But one of my grievances, right? Like you'll hear one of my grievances, and it really drives me crazy. But that's okay. I can deal with it. But the bottom line is that the players and the NHL realize, wait a sec, we want to get a full season in. And having now that break where the Olympics were inserted into the schedule gives you a lot more flexibility to deal with things first and foremost health-wise and then with your business. And they're not separate and independent. They go together.
Yeah, Gary said February 6th to the 22nd is now going to be used to make up at least 50 games.
No way. See, no. How can I not air my grievances right now? You're leaving me there. You have the pull out. You have the pull out.
That's the feats of strength first, then the grievances, my friend, then the grievances. So you know what? Why don't we bring out the poll for the feats of strength? Okay. Strength. Teams. And then we'll do some players. So,
and now as Festivus rolls on, we come to the feats of strength.
Not the feats of strength.
Yes, it's time now for the feats of strength. I've got Carolina, Tampa, Colorado, and Vegas. Surprise, surprise, as the best four teams in each division. They've shown me the strength so far. Tampa can win with the Forche and Radish and Maroon and Corey Perry. You're in your 30s. You're not in your 20s. Feats of strength by the Tampa Bay Lightning. They don't need 21 and 86. And even when 71 was out, I admire them. I respect them. And how could you not love them? They've shown me feats of strength.
Corey Perry's Frank Costanza. I'll take you down. I'm taking you down. I don't care how, like, I'm taking you down. Isn't it wonderful? Here's the wonderful thing about Corey Perry. The enthusiasm he plays with. He plays with... I first saw Corey Perry play when he was 16 years of age. Okay. And, you know, he played with an unbridled enthusiasm. And guess what? He still plays with an unbridled enthusiasm. It's just so, you know what players, and Steve, you hear it all the time. You talk to players, former players, and they all say there's nothing better than playing, and they miss it so much, right? Like, and when you watch Corey Perry, that's it right there. That's the guy. You know, he's been compensated as he should have been over the course of his career. And now he's playing at a stage of his career, compensated, you know, where it should be, but that enthusiasm has not waned one little bit. Gotta love it, right? And you think about, did you, no, okay, I nearly asked a dumb question. Uh-oh.
Grievance.
How about that game the other night, Tampa Bay in Las Vegas, Vegas? Oh, how good. I mean, 3-1, you know, it looked like Vegas. Vasilevsky's playing this phenomenal game, right? And then Tampa Bay comes out in the third period. No John Cooper behind the bench, you know, working within the group. And they play a third period, and wow, you go, that's winning hockey. That's a winning organization. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we don't have our coach today. Yeah, we don't have Kucherov. We got some challenges, but let's go.
I know it's cliche, but that's a preview of the Stanley Cup Final. You know, if feats of strength are Carolina in a good division, Tampa Bay in a, these are great divisions, Colorado, like you mentioned, Colorado, Tampa, Vegas, Carolina, Tampa, Vegas, you know, that doesn't say Florida or Toronto or Washington can't get there. It's just feats of strength. As good as these teams are, there's some that are a little bit better, you know, the margin to win an Olympic gold in track and field or in high jump. That's how tight it is. And it just is amazing. Like, here comes Vegas now, even though they've been banged up and sick and everything else. And Colorado is just starting to spread their wings. And let's see what they do in the second half. We've got so many legitimate teams that are in the mix. If each division has at least three times three is nine, three times four is 12. Are there really 12 contenders? Do the other sports have 12? That's feats of strength of how good some of these teams are. And watching Vegas and Tampa the other night, I say to myself, oh boy, I think whatever combination we get, it's not, I don't think we're going to get Montreal, Tampa, you know, or the North Stars, sorry, and Pittsburgh. I think we're going to get something special. And that's what makes Festivus so great, when there's something special to look forward to under the silver pole.
I have three grievances now after your last little comment there under your breath.
We're on so feats, you know, of strength.
I'm just strength. I came into this with maybe not so many grievances, but they're building.
We're going to extend. We're extended play time. So feats of strength on the teams. Are you with me on all these teams?
How about a feat of strength? Let's go back. Vegas.
Yeah.
No Jack Eichel yet.
No.
And how about a feat of strength by Kelly McCrimmon to be bold, to say we haven't had a player like that. And, you know, Jack has been skating. He's had the surgery. There was even talk from Bill Guerin that, well, assess, maybe he'll be available for the Olympics. How much better does that? How much stronger does that make the Vegas Golden Knights as well? Let's not, you know, through this whole thing, Jack Eichel gets lost as we talk about these good teams, right? Like, you know, and I think that that's really, really important to say. You know, when we watch, and I'm not so sure that the Washington Capitals, you know, remember the Washington Capitals were rolling along, winning President's Trophy, and they were out, they'll never win. And then they didn't win the President's Trophy and they won. I wasn't so sure about the Caps. I wasn't so sure. When I say sure, I'm talking about in that upper echelon.
Yep.
I think that's a strong team. And you talk about feats of strength. It's all led by their Russian bear, Alexander Ovechkin. We talked about Corey Perry. How about Alexander Ovechkin? Feats of strength. Oh my God. Like this, like there's no stopping this man. He is an unbelievable player. We already know that. Hey, thanks, Cap Mobius, telling us that he's an unbelievable. But you watch how he plays. You watch how he even adjusts his game. You know, he used to be involved in a lot in contact because he was a big guy. I'm watching now. He's not doing unnecessary contact. He's not getting involved in the unnecessary contact. Well, that's learning as you go too. And I mean, his brilliance and his power. Remember, no Backstrom at the beginning, and then Backstrom comes back and Kuznetsov left. Then there was no bat. They don't miss a beat. I mean, Steve, he's one of the 10 best players all time in the NHL. He's going higher. You know, the top four, and I know everybody says, or Gretzky, Howe, and Lemieux, they're not moving out of the top four. Well, I'll tell you what, the Crosby and Ovechkin might very well end up being 5 and 6 when it's all done, wherever you want to put them. I mean, that's how great Ovechkin is.
That's a great feats of strength. And right now at press time, we have 3 guys in the 20 goal club. So feats of strength. Will we have 0, 1, 2, 3 more 50 goal scorers? All 3, Dreisaitl, Matthews, and Ovechkin. Feats of strength. Will they be Hawaii 5-0? Over under 50. How many players do you believe in those 3 to get it done?
I think all 3 will get it done. I really do. I you know, you look at Dreisaitl. I mean, he's had chances. He ran into a little bit of a spell where he couldn't get the puck in the net. But when you're getting the chances, don't worry. And I'm not betting against Ovi or Matthews. I'm just not. Sorry. Like, you know, if they had 15 goals, I might not be ready to bet against them. But they don't. And Austin Matthews is heating up, and Ovechkin's been going right from game 1. So I'm going all 3 get to the 50-goal mark.
I am as well.
And an 82-game schedule.
They got to be healthy. Yep. They got to be healthy. And the only other guy who's in the club below, I would say, is Kyle Connor. So maybe Connor, but I'm not going to put him in. I don't think you're putting him in. He's close at 18. There's the Jets. There's games and, you know, all that stuff. But those 3 feats of strength, we believe it'd be great to have 3 50-goal scorers. That's sexy. Feats of strength, McDavid. The math is 1.69 points per game times 82 is 138.5 FM. Over or under feats of strength for McDavid at, let's say, 139.
Over. Is he?
Me too.
I can't bet against him. There's no way. Like, I mean, Steve, I don't know if I've ever shared this story with you. Connor McDavid was going into his draft year. And so we went down to Erie and watched, or maybe it was Saginaw. He was playing in Saginaw. And we went to the game to cover his first game of his OHL career in his draft year. Okay. Yep. So I think he had 1 assist in the game. And marking the game, I counted out that he had 19 grade A scoring chances that he had or created. And he had 1 assist. He didn't score. And he ended up with a grade A scoring chance off a defensive zone faceoff that he won. And I remember I was with my good friend, Matt Cade, and we're marking it. And, you know, we're telling people like he was brilliant, and people are looking, well, he only had one assist. Like, let me just tell you how brilliant he was. Like, you know, we're going, we had video and everything and all the things. That's what he does every night in the NHL. Not 20, but there's 10. And when you're getting that many chances, and, you know, he's so unbelievably, you know, one of the things I think, like, here I am, I'm going to, Connor McDavid's going to have a grievance against me. If there's one thing I'd like to see him do a little bit more of, I'd like to see him be a little more selfish. Like, with the puck, with the
ice. Shoot more.
Yeah, and take the puck more. Like, he's so aware. He's so good at setting others up, right? But, like, just go, you know what? Like, you know that old, I'll tell you a funny Brett Hull story. But just say, wait a sec. I got a better chance than that guy if I give him the puck. That's not negative. That's just understanding. Brett Hull, Craig Conroy, 2-on-1. They're playing in St. Louis. They're on a 2-on-1. Craig Conroy has the puck, looks over to Hull. He shoots it. So they come back to the bench, and Hull's sitting there, takes a sip of his water. He turns to Craig Conroy and he says, what was your major in college? He goes, business. And Craig said, you know, why is he asking me this? He goes, did you do pretty good? Were you a pretty good student? He goes, well, yeah, I was pretty good. And he's like, Conroy's like kind of trying to, where is he going here? He goes, let me just tell you something, kid. He goes, 86 goals, 6. Pass me the puck. You couldn't have been that good in math in college.
Yeah, there was a play last week, McDavid doing his thing, dancing, you know, dipping and diving, and centers it to Jesse Puljujärvi, who, you know, who doesn't score. And your example, McDavid's like, that's the play. I know, maybe if it's Curry or Bossy, or, you know, then they score and you get, but at that point, he's like, maybe I should have taken to the net and gone to the backhand. And I get it, because his mind, if he had someone, and people say, well, Dreisaitl, well, they're separated together now. The Oilers can't just put them together and hope for the best. Because you know what happens? When those two are on the ice, the Oilers are the best team in the league. When they're not on the ice, they're the worst team. Dave Tippett knows I can't do this. And if there was, and somebody says, oh, so you're asking for Erika, I something, someone that's a little higher on the finishing chart, you know, a third of Brett Hull, something like that. And Puljujärvi's come a long way. At one point he was a prospect, then he was a suspect, then they made him a prospect and a player again. I know what you mean, where he would say, maybe in this case, I fake the Puljujärvi, I take it to the net, and I score for we, the Oilers. And if he does it a little more, maybe they think, oh, he's keeping it a bit more. So then when he dishes, that play goes in. Because he's a disher first, and I get it, and I know what you mean. A little bit more selfish because he can. And I would also say this is, make sure you're in a spot, Connor, that you can. He's improved his shot to be a threat from the top of the circles. Because when you are, the whole world opens up. And that's constructive because he's got 17 goals now. I think he could be in the 20-goal club. Like, I'm only asking for three more, right, Craig? So it is interesting as it relates to Connor. And it's so fun to watch.
Okay. I know how much you love you. In fact, this might be one of your grievances. So I'm going to give you a little bit of banner trivia.
Yes.
Banner trivia. Up in the rafters where the Oilers play in their arena, right? Where, how does the banners go? You know how the banners go?
From Al Hamilton, you mean?
Yeah.
Right? So we're going by numbers.
Well, no, I just don't.
Well, Pierre's up there. Curry's up there. Messier's up there. Gretzky's up there.
Curry's next to Gretzky.
Yes. Oh, Curry's you're saying the connection.
Next to Gretzky. I think I mentioned this in an earlier episode. The penny drop for me. I know there's no more pennies in Canada, but there are in the United States. So, like, for people in Canada, if you don't remember what a penny is, ask our friends in the United States. Anyway, I was at a exhibition game this year, and I'm watching. I kind of glance up. I'm watching McDavid and all his brilliance. And I glance up, and I see the banner, Gretzky Curry, and the penny drop. And I said, ah, that's a big reason why Wayne scored 200 points. He had Curry. McDavid doesn't have Curry. He doesn't have, like you said, a third, a half, right? And, like, that's a big factor. I mean, Wayne and Jerry were great players, But they had each other. They don't have that. How many more points would McDavid have? If it, like, you know, this is not a knock against Pascal Dupuis or Chris Kunitz or any of those guys, but like, he hasn't had a Jari Kurri. Maybe Lemieux had Kevin Stevens.
It's a big difference. It's a big difference. And you could argue if they felt they had something else, they could always play 29 and 97 together. And they do at times, and that's great. And that's a 50-goal guy. It's a Hart Trophy winner, Art Ross, and all that stuff. But they know it's not what's best for the team because that's what the numbers show, and they've tried it. But it's fun to watch. It's fun to discuss. And also, at this time of the year, what is a great, great shot in the arm for hockey fans is the World Junior Tournament. Craig, we're there right now. What are some of your big storylines going into this tournament? You know all the teams, all the players. U.S. trying to make it two in a row. We talked to Matty Beniers the other day. There's another Cooley out there. There can only be one Cooley, but there's two. And he's so much better than I ever wished I could be. So he's in play. You've got your Bedards and Wrights and everybody else. Maybe some of the stars, but some of the other guys that might surprise that don't, they're not the marquee guys. Who are some guys that might see, they're like the Setters. You win with some of these players, my friend.
Well, you do win with all kinds of different players. And let me just say this to you. You've talked about your beer league and talk about the fabulous goals you've scored. Maybe the Cooley at the World Junior Championships is not as good as you. We don't know yet. We need to see video evidence. GoPro, man, GoPro. You gotta wear a GoPro on your helmet. We need to have vision. We need to have video evidence. Anyway, you talk about Matty Beniers. You know, it's interesting. You know, last year, the USA's got a great chance to win the World Junior Gold again. I mean, Canada does. Russia has a real good chance. I mean, Finland, don't bet against them. Matty Beniers. You know what? We describe players in so many different ways, right, Steve? And sometimes it's just the same thing and everything. But I started thinking about Matty. I was writing down some notes. And, you know, I've watched him for so long. You know what I said? He's a force field. That's what he is. He's a force field. Because no matter what the situation is, he's so invested in a positive outcome for himself, for the team, for others. And it doesn't matter where you put him or who you put him with. He's got this unbelievable force field around him. Seattle Kraken have a terrific player there. And he might not, you know, we talk about Bedard or we talk about the sexy players and there's nothing wrong with that, right? But at the end of the day, Matty Beniers, oh boy, you want him on your team. You want him on your team, you know? I think a couple of points I would make about the tournament, the draft eligible players. Like, I mean, the quad, I don't think, like, you know, Pronger and Korea played in the 93 World Junior Tournament in Yavla, Sweden, 2 and 4 in the draft. You know, there's 4 or 5 at least guys are going to the top 10 are playing in this tournament. That's Shane Wright. That's Logan Cooley. That's Joachim Kemmel. That's Juraj Slafkovský. That's Simon Nemec. Oh, wait, I just named 5. Oh, wait, Danil Yurov. Wait a sec, that's 6. And there might be a few more, you know. Like, and they're not here just because they're going to be good in the future. They're good right now. They're good right now. They're going to be – Shane Wright's going to be a big part of Team Canada. And Logan Cooley's going to have a big bite of Team USA. And Joachim Kemmel is going to have a big bite of Finland. So these are really, really good players. So, you know, that's very interesting. The star power comes out every year. It does. And I, you've heard me say this. The glimpse of the future. You want to see what the NHL is going to look like in the future? And it might be as soon as this year's playoffs, like Cole Caulfield or Trevor Zegras coming in and setting the hockey world ablaze, positively and negatively in some people's mind. So the tournament is so competitive and it's so good, but it's also an unbelievable opportunity to watch the stars of tomorrow. I mean, it's amazing we talk about Connor Bedard as we should. Why don't we talk about Matvei Michkov? Matvei Michkov led the tournament in scoring last year at the U18. Like, I mean, you want to see a brilliant young player and you want to start getting excited for the 2023 draft. These two players, Bedard and Michkov, are going to have lots of opportunity to play for their respective teams. Teams that are in the gold medal hunt. We're not talking about playing down the lineup. Gold medal hunt.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting. I love it. You got us excited. We can't wait. Craig will be all over it. Edmonton and Red Deer starting on Boxing Day on TSN in Canada, of course, and NHL Network in the United States. And it's great what the NHL Network has been able to do. Mm-hmm. As the United States has improved, 3-3-3 the last 9 World Juniors with Canada, Finland, and the USA. You got us excited, especially about watching the tournament. It's one thing when you watch, you know, Matty Beniers, and Seattle's like, okay, let me watch my Matty Beniers. But the undrafted players that you talk about for this year, next year, that adds an extra little spice around this Christmas time, or for us, the Festivus for the rest of us. Now, we've had feats of strength. We will end the program with...
with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Yeah, that's right. You've got a lot of them. I'll let you go first, because you're going to take us to time, I think. You want to air some grievances. You've got problems with you people. Okay, so Craig, you're not happy with someone and someone's plural. Take us, my friend. Go ahead. Your first.
Well, we talked about the Olympic, NHL players not going to the Olympics, right? We talked about that.
Yeah.
And then you quoted Gary Bettman. We're going to use that period of time in February to try to reschedule games that were postponed and use that time to our best advantage, right?
Yeah.
Here's my grievance. How many people, and I'm talking people that are reporting, saying, oh, no, there's no opportunity in February. Well, wait, now the commissioner's come out. What are you going to say now? People that think they know that don't know. There's too many people that think they know that know. And I'm talking about people that are reporting on the game. Drives me crazy. You don't know as much as you think you know.
That's a good grievance. That's grievance number one from Craig. I know you've got more. How about you do grievance number two before I take the poll from you?
Drives me crazy. Ready? Post-draft, people want to grade other teams' draft picks the day after the draft. The day after the draft. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah. Talk about a self-serving, unbelievable exercise. Oh, I had the player rated high. Teams took my players high. Therefore, they get a high grade. Players I didn't rate high, teams took them. They don't get a high grade. Do you think we're all that stupid that we don't know what you're doing? Self-serving exercise? I mean, Shakir Mukhamudulin. Okay, drafted by the New Jersey Devils in the first round. Just, it was unbelievable. People wanted to jump Tommy Fitzgerald and the New Jersey Devils, I think. And, you know, it's like, really? Like, you guys know? Like, okay, that's pretty harsh, right? Shakir Mukhamudulin is going to play in the NHL and be a real good NHL player for a lot of years. And now I'm seeing people like, oh, maybe he's better than I thought. Yeah, maybe you shouldn't be thinking in the first place.
Shakir Mukhamudulin, that's just a fun name to say. It's like Isn't Bobby it? Bear. Let's say it together. Shakir Mukhamudulin. It's a great name to say.
Those are you doing the broadcast? I'm not trying to take away anything away from Steve and Dave that are doing the broadcast for NHL Network USA games. But, I mean, Shakir Mukhamudulin, like, you might be able to get right in there and do the play-by-play. My grievance, another grievance. Why isn't Steve Koulias doing more play-by-play?
No. That's good. Okay, grievances. I wasn't really prepared, but I made a list of grievances, and I'm not even going to get to them all. Speaking of play-by-play, to the color people, men and women, shut up when there's a scoring chance. Like, oh, my goodness gracious. Is that why the color guys are now between the benches? So the play-by-play guy doesn't give them an elbow? Bob Cole used to reach over and hit the mute button when the puck is gaining the zone and there's a chance. Shut up, I'm saying. And I'm saying it to both sexes. Like, I could name the play-by-play guy that I'm thinking about that's going, are you kidding me? Shut up. Come on, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Let them do their thing. And then... augment of what's going on as far as the broadcast is concerned. So that is constructive criticism. It relates to one of my grievances. And the Zoom, I've given up. Seattle, I'd rather listen to the game on the radio than watch a game from Seattle. The building's good, but do I need to see that in the parking lot when I watch the game? Seattle, Vegas, and Nashville. Hello? Hello, Vegas, you're in year 5. I get Seattle. They haven't figured it out yet. But Nashville, you've been here since 1998, 99. Oh, the camera has a button. So zoom in. That's one of my grievances. And how about this? The language. Okay, I know I'm in the language police. It is a warm-up, not warm-ups. Alexander Ovechkin is a left winger, not a left wing. And you can play in the World Juniors, but when you get sent back to the OHL, you're being sent to junior. So I don't know if it's ignorance or arrogance. That's my grievances. Learn the language. Oh, and hockey gods, give Bo Byram some help. I have a grievance with the hockey gods. Give him some good health so he can do the special things that he was born in. I'm a little worried. I hope it all will work out with Mr. Bo Byram.
Great, great talent. Great, great talent. Mike Dick, assistant coach with Team Canada, was coaching Bo in Bantam. And I ran into Mike and he said, you're going to want to see this kid I got. And he told me about him. He was playing bad. And because he was playing in Alberta, and I knew he was, you phoned around, oh yeah, he's going to be a high pick in the Western Hockey League draft and everything. So I ended up going and watching him play. And I was like, yeah, Mike Dick has a future in this game. He can spot hockey talent. And he coached them. And he coached them in Vancouver. You know, Mike ended up as the coach of the Vancouver Giants, still is. And go to, but I'm with you. Bowen Byram is a special talent. I just described Manny Beniers as a force field. Bo Byram's a force field. Yeah. He's exactly the same type of, you know, that personality on the ice with his skills and with his energy. He's a force field. And I'm with you. You know what? Let him be the best he can be.
Any other grievances?
Yeah.
You ended.
He scores, not score.
Yeah, I know. I'm almost ready to give up on that one. I mean, Danny and Foster, I'm sorry. I we're trying here. Like, we're trying. You know, it's a work in progress. How about that? It's 104 years, but it's a work in progress.
We can, I know,
there's
guide
creativity and there's other ways to skin the cat. I think if it can be improved, it's one thing. But if it's like Jaws and it's the guy on the chalkboard with the nails and it's like, that doesn't sound right, then it doesn't sound right. So people are saying, boy, those guys have a lot of grievances. Thank God they're perfect. So,
hey, listen, we only went through a few of our grievances. You know, you and me talk, we got lots of grievances and people want to hear them. If you got this could be like one of those big, long documentaries that we could do. Ken Burns, Stephen, we go through Stephen Craig's long list of grievances. It will be an 8-part series. Yeah, right. And you know, one of the things we talk about broadcasters and everything, and you know, there's so many good ones, but you know, I learn all the time. And Jim Fox taught me something the other day. He does the LA Kings games. He talked about a play in the game. And he said, you know, I'll say if it's a missed call, if in real time, I identify it as what I see as a missed call. But he goes, I'm not going to go and watch a replay and say, oh, by the way, he should have had this if I didn't identify it in real time. And he said, it's a rule he goes by. And I said, that is a really great rule. Because, you know, we want to judge and everything. The officials don't get a chance to look at it and go, oh, yeah, you're right. I missed that. I get to call it again. And as a broadcaster, you know, you're listening. I'm listening. And there's terrific broadcasters out there. Some of the things we have grievances about, but we also learn. And I just wanted to say that like the other day, you know, I learned something new and I'm going to apply that rule. If I see it and I can say, hey, missed. But if I go and look at a replay, well, no kidding. No kidding. It's easy to say he missed it.
Yeah, the replay is like looking at the draft afterwards. Let's go do the 03 draft and find out why the Rangers took Hugh Jessamine. Oh, come on. You know what I mean? I love Jimmy Fox, and he's great. He doesn't talk over his guys, and he's worked with one legend, and he's bringing his new partner up very, very well. So, hey, we're having fun with it. It's a lot of fun. It's really Christmas and New Year and everything else. Craig, I love you like a brother. I'm glad that we're doing this. My Christmas present this year is when you said, let's do this and have some fun. And then we brought Brucey Broy in, Bruce Bolton, and it's been a lot of fun. Whether we're acting on the feats of strength or whether we're airing our grievances, all in good fun. Merry Christmas, my friend. I love you. This has been great. And it's really just the beginning.
It is, and it has been great. Let me tell you, you know, the holiday season, it's about friendship, family, love, and giving. And, you know, whatever gifts you get, I get a gift every day. I get a gift of friendship and kinship with you. And it's something that I never take for granted. And it's something that I think is special. And for everybody that listens, you know, people ask me, where does Steve get his energy? He gets a good night's sleep. He has good nutrition. He exercises. And when the eyes open, he's ready to go. I love it. And to have Bruce a part of this, couldn't be happier. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Guess what the next episode will be? After day one of the World Juniors.
Can't wait. 24 in the books. 25 on Monday. Take care, everybody. Be good. Be safe. Be well.
Until you pin me, George, Festivus is not over.
Oh, please, somebody stop this.
Let's rumble!
Take him, Georgie.
Come on, be sensible. Stop crying and fight your father.
Ow! Ow, I got
This is
I
the best Festivus